Father, I just thank you and I praise you tonight and I give you all honor and all glory. Father God, you can supernaturally fix that air conditioning unit, whatever's wrong with it. We place it in your hands right now tonight, Father. You did what you have to do to get it running right. And Father, I thank you for it. And every foul, dark spirit that's raised its ugly head in the sanctuary this evening, you're finished right now in the name of Jesus. You have no power, you have no authority in the house of God. We didn't invite you and you can't stay. You leave right now in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we thank you for your angelic hosts that are round about, ministering to your people. And Father God, we thank you for the angels that are round about the outside of the church, keeping demonic forces out. We thank you for fighting our battles for us, Father, as we praise you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading an article on Jay Bartlett's blog today where this atheist somehow or other got saved. I forgot how. And right away he started seeing Jesus everywhere. He started seeing angels. He could tell you exactly where they were standing, and he could tell you exactly what Jesus was doing, what the angels were doing, how he was healing the people. And I'm thinking, wasn't that for the birds? Here we are, born again children of God, and we don't see nothing. So that made me stop and get excited in the wrong way. I was upset, excited. It's about time, God, that the house of God can see these things. Well, God says the church doesn't want him. He'll go out in highways and byways and he'll bring them in and clean them up and use them. And this is what happened to this guy. I think he's a doctor. But you can go on Jay Bartlett's blog and then you can get on to that guy. So just see how God's using him. And he didn't even believe there was a God for years. He just got saved recently. There's things out there, guys, that we have not yet tapped into. Cat Kerr goes to heaven a couple times a day, every day. Talks to God, gets instructions from God, and he paints her hair pink and all that kind of stuff, you know? Where are we at, church? What are we doing? Come on. It's every one of us in here tonight, including, I'm an us, you know? What are we doing? Why is that happening? That's been my cry ever since yesterday afternoon when I started reading watching one of her videos, listening to her talk about heaven and how God's telling her what's going on, and then she comes out and preaches and it goes on. Come on. There's something in the wood pile somewhere. And each one of us individually need to find out where it's at and what it is and get it out. All right. Guess you all know there's a couple things going on in the spirit realm right now. Right now, the Muslims are celebrating Ramadan. They fast for 30 days from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then eat at night, but they do it to gain power from Allah. Last year, ISIS crucified women and children who slipped and ate during the fasting period. I'm thinking, well, how can anybody slip and eat? All right. Ramadan started on June the 6th and ends on July the 5th. So this is what we're fighting right now. Orlando shooting follows ISIS call for U.S. Ramadan attacks. The Orlando shooting follows ISIS's call for U.S. Ramadan attacks. CNN says the deadliest terrorist attack on U.S. soil since 9/11 followed a clarion call by ISIS to its supporters in the United States to launch attacks during Ramadan, the Islamic holy month, which started last week. In an audio recording released on May 21st, ISIS spokesman, whatever his name is, called for a month of hurt in the United States as well as Europe. His message to ISIS sympathizers like Orlando shooter Omar Maiden, stay home and kill anybody, anyhow, anywhere. Okay, now here's the demonic realm, fasting for 30 days during those hours. And they're doing everything Satan's telling them to do. I can't find a body of Christ will fast one day. And they're doing it to get power from the demonic realm. I can't find people in the house of God will fast one day just to get a cleansing of your body. Come on. God has been calling the church to fast for quite some time now. And I think we need to, each one of us individually, think about this and decide, how far do I want to go with God? Do I want to stay where I'm at in a rut and just mouth off things? Or do I really want to go higher in God, take daily trips to heaven? You know, I know we say yes, but why isn't it happening? We've been saying yes for how many months and how many years now? And it's not happening. See, it's time that the body of Christ gets serious with their yeses. And we need to quit being disobedient to the things that God's calling us to do. Now, Ramadan is going on right now, and it goes on to what? To July the 5th? All right, you can go ahead and put up the next one, Nancy. Now, I'm going to talk on Basilics. I'll give you the dates for that in just a second. I just want to tell you something. Okay, let's read the first paragraph. On July the 23rd, 1996, and again on July the 23rd, 1997, Bob Jones was given visions from the Lord displaying a powerful... Oh, do you have those pictures first, Nancy? I'm sorry. Put the picture. You should throw the spit wad at me. I didn't make some... There, see, that's Basilic, all right? Then there's the wolf that's... See, his eyes has a Hitler thing in his eyes. These are connected with the basilic spirit. Now, we're not going to stick it on a bulletin like we did last year, because I was sitting there thinking, I don't want that demonic thing in our house, right? In the house of God, or in my house either. All right, now, on July the 23rd, 1996, and again on July the 23rd, 1997, Bob Jones was given visions from the Lord displaying a powerful demonic spirit, basilics. And God is desiring that we understand and oppose the basilic spirit. Now, whenever Sister Nancy Connell wrote me an email and said that the wolf is, you know, with the basilic, so I went and Googled wolf, you know, with the basilic spirit, and I came upon something popped up about what some guy was writing. And I'm thinking, no wonder the body of Christ is messed up. This man went on to run Bob Jones and Paul Keith Davis, and I can't remember the other guy, down so far in the mud. Right there tells you he's not a man of God. You don't run down other ministers. You keep your mouth shut. God will take care of them. But he was saying all this stuff that God showed Bob Jones was just all fantasy. And we, the body of Christ, we jump onto his fantasy, Bob Jones' fantasy, and then we live under fear. Now, yeah, I hope you all don't do stuff like that. You talk about another ministry, you're done. You're done right then and there. And the devil will use you from that moment on. You keep your nose in your pulpit and they'll keep their nose in theirs, all right? God always told me from right on, you don't worry about what the other guy is doing. You have enough to do to be concerned about what you're doing. So if you read about the basilic spirit and run across this guy, I don't even know his name, don't care, no, because I just went quit reading it. Just don't pay no attention. You can read it if you want, but you're just wasting your time like I did. I just read it to see, what is this man really saying? And it was nothing godly. Telling us not to even think about the basilic spirit. Excuse me, basilic season. So I would figure he's a tool of the enemy so that we aren't aware of what's going on. Now, we are coming into a season of basilic. It starts July the 23rd. Now, you ought to mark this on your calendars when you go home. And and goes through August the 12th. In this season of basilic, according to Isaiah 59:5, if you step on a snake's egg, many more snakes will pop out. So it is a key time for you to watch where you step. The enemy has laid a trap for you, but God has a plan to grant you great deliverance in this season. We all have to remember that God said hard times are going to come upon us, but he was going to be there to deliver us from them. We can't give in to these hard times. I need to stress the importance of this time frame and the great need for consecration, repentance, and prayer. And Reverend Nancy, this really is a lot on your shoulders, because you have to be praying during this season, and we're going to tell you why, because if you don't, since you're our head intercessor, you're leaving a line open. All right. Caution should also be exercised in our spiritual warfare. This unique season has produced many of the most catastrophic events in Jewish history. This historic enemy of the cross has an extraordinary hatred, not only for Israel, but all of God's covenant people. Has an extraordinary hatred, not only for Israel, but all of God's covenant people. The Holy Spirit is now revealing to us that we have a common enemy who has set himself against the purposes of God in the earth. Now, reading that article, you talk about people twisting scripture. This man twisted scripture like you wouldn't believe to say something it wasn't even saying. So I hope and pray that all of you people are so in tune to the Spirit of God that you do not twist scripture and you know when somebody else is. All right. The Bible says don't add to or take away. Isn't that what it says? In recent weeks, the Lord has given specific permission to call upon heaven for the release and activation of the mighty warring angels, including the distinguished Archangel Michael. In the Old Testament, the Lord would send prophets to Israel to not only reveal the plans of heaven, but also disclose the intent of the enemy. In the Old Testament, the Lord would send prophets to Israel to not only reveal the plans of heaven, but also disclose the intent of the enemy. On one such occasion, the king of Aram was enraged because he was unable to make plans for war without Elijah the prophet divulging those plans to the king of Israel. You read about that in 2 Kings 6, 6 to 18. Elijah spoke those words and God obeyed. See, the people needed a prophet to lead them. This evil spirit, Baslik, is accustomed to operating in secret without being detected or obstructed. This evil spirit, Baslik, is accustomed to operating in secret without being detected or obstructed. This great enemy of the cross has authority to release extensive destruction and misery in the earth, especially if unopposed by the praying church. See why you're important here, Reverend Nancy? You know, if you don't stop him through your prayers, then he has authority to release extensive destruction and misery in the earth. She's not the only one who has to pray. All right, we'll go get that in just a minute. Baslik is the exemplification of the devil himself, whose primary purpose is death and destruction. Now, how many of you know without a shadow of a doubt, before July even comes, you're already being attacked? It's probably due to Ramadan, but when Ramadan's over, then Baslik is going to pick up, and it's not going to decrease, it's going to increase the warfare. Somebody in my house who does have a seer anointing, and they had a dream, and in the dream they saw a pack of wolves, six wolves, sitting at down at the end of my lane. They weren't in my lane, they were in a neighbor's lane, but they were all six facing my house, mouths open, fangs, you know, showing and drooling. And I told Larry, the reason why they couldn't get on my property, they could sit over there and look, is because I have placed a hedge. I used to put one in all four corners. I have placed a hedge of angels around my house that the enemy can't come in and destroy. So he said, unless I let the hedge down, they cannot come on my property. They can sit over there in the next door neighbor's end of his lane, look over, but they can't cross that line. So each one of you have to have a hedge of angels around about you and keep that hedge up so Baslik cannot come and attack you and destroy you. The natural physical death, is that what I meant? Yeah, the natural physical death resulting from this spirit is derived from plagues, sickness, and disease, natural disasters, and even terrorism. Its origin can be traced all the way back to ancient Israel. The Egyptians worshipped this spirit as the Lord and King of Serpents to all, you know, A-W-E, all others, nor to be destroyed by any. They worshipped him. This spirit. I believe, and I know, that the body of Christ, some in the body of Christ, do the very same thing today. Everybody sitting in the house of God is not saved. We all know that. That's a given. And I know that those that aren't saved do all kind of demonic things against whatever house of God they're sitting in. Amen. So let's not say, because it happens today. They displayed a crown of basilisk on the heads of their gods as observed in their B-E-M-B-I-N-E table and other Egyptian monuments. They displayed a crown of basilisk on the heads of their gods. How evil can you get? They went the distance, didn't they? Some of the body of Christ are going the distance right now. This demonstrates Satan's attempt to elevate himself above God as an object of worship. This demonstrates Satan's attempt to elevate himself above God as an object of worship. In the second vision given to Bob in 1997, this spirit was multiplied, look at this, was multiplied hundreds of times larger than the previous year. That was way back in 1997. What do you think it is like today with all the wickedness in the earth? This demonstrates a progressive increase in authority presently given to this spirit. You know, given to this spirit. The church is given this authority to this spirit by our lack of not praying right and not fasting right. Apparently, during certain cycle seasons, a tremendous increase in power is given to this spirit to cause death and destruction. Additionally, in 1997, this spirit was shown brooding over a nest of eggs, desiring to periodically birth wrath and misery in the earth. Isaiah 59:5 says, they hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. With each revelation, this prince of darkness expressed considerable surprise at being exposed, as he is accustomed to operating undetected. You know, as this revelation about him was coming forward. So well hidden in this spirit that he did not even require the darkness of night to operate as most evil spirits do. He can operate and even prevail in the brightness of the noonday. In other words, he can operate all day long and all night. He doesn't have to wait till it's dark. You wonder why sometimes during the day you're attacked so viciously? And then some nights you can't even sleep or nothing else because the enemy's right smack dab in your face all night long, right? Though he does not require the darkness of night like all evil spirits, he prefers to be hidden in darkness. Psalm 91:6, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, of the destruction that lays waste at noon. The word basilisk is derived from B-A-S-I-L-I-S-K-O-S, meaning kinglet or king, signifying a mythical reptile hatched by a serpent from a cock's egg. In scripture, basilisk is sometimes translated cockatrice or adder. You know, you can go home and Google this word, and you could come up with all kind of descriptions of and all kind of information about him. But I just put this together. This is enough to get you interested to go and Google some more yourself. All right. In the land of Palestine, this term is generally presumed to denote the horned viper, a very poisonous serpent considered one of the most dangerous of all vipers. Clearly, the spiritual symbolism points to a prince of darkness diametrically opposed to the purposes of God in the earth. I don't think I have it on here, but I did read somewhere where just his breath can destroy. As he breathes, it destroys things. I thought, wow, I already had this together, so I don't think I have that in here. In Daniel 10, we discover the prince of Persia withstanding Gabriel, prohibiting the release of divine destruction for 21 days. So we have, what, 30 days of him? Basilisk, also a high-ranking prince. Do you understand why you're doing exorcisms and not deliverances? Because you're not dealing with the little low guys anymore. You're dealing with the top brass. All right, Basilisk, also a high-ranking prince, desires to likewise withstand the intentions of God and has been delegated the power of death. It was believed in mythology that the power of death existed in his breath. Existed in his breath, or even in a glance of his eyes. I did write that in here. Have you ever had? Do you see devil in people's eyes sometimes? You look at them. You're looking right into the darkness of hell. They're standing smiling so sweetly, praise the Lord, while the devil's right there in their eyes. You guys have got to have spiritual eyes to discern what you're looking at. All right? And don't be afraid to tell people, I don't want you to prophesy over me. I just don't want to hear that, you know, whatever they're doing. Just say, I'm covered, and that's all you need to do. Don't allow people to be prophesying over you and laying hands on you, because I don't care what kind of smile they have in their face, and I don't care how spiritual they are. You don't know what, unless you're walking in spirit, you don't know what's behind all of that. All right? Baslake, also a high-ranking prince, desires to likewise withstand. I read that, didn't I? In each of the visions that Bob Jones had, the Holy Spirit gave Bob Psalm 91:13 as a defense against this evil opposition. That guy even went against that. Psalm 91:13, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. So there we are. You know, God has given us power and authority over this spirit, but we can't walk in fear. We have to know that we have authority and then apply that authority. You know, if you ever ask Brett and Nancy to pray for her, they just get the best prayer going here when you and Adam in here. And they, you know, I say, God, I don't know all that stuff. So I'm coming. This is what I said last night. I'm coming to the courtroom right now. I want the devil there too. I want him there. Now this is what I want you to do. That was my prayer. And I said, thank you. Amen. You know, and I can't call them every time I need a prayer about heaven to the courtroom. And I have them all written down, but I don't have time to go look them up either. So I just pray. Amen. Their stuff they're learning is they can go out and teach other people and put them in books. No, I'm just going to teach you something. All right. I even tell the devil, you're not bigger than God. And I don't have to have a degree in praying. I just need to pray. It just really gets to me when people write an email or they talk to you, oh, thee and thou and, you know, and all this God stuff. Come on. Come on. Just speak English. I mean, really. When I was first saved, that turned me off. It really did. People couldn't even talk to you without, they all quoted scripture all the time. And I said, God, what? And I felt uncomfortable. So if you're trying to save somebody, you don't go around quoting scripture. You know, you be yourself. Well, your holy self. You know, and you just talk English. Or French or whatever it is they're talking, right? And God said, just watch their fruit. They did not have any fruit at all that I'd want to even touch. Amen. So that's religious spirit to do that, by the way. I don't know where I'm at now. Repentance and steadfast faith in the declared word provided protection against this identified enemy. Repentance and steadfast faith in the declared word provided protection against this identified enemy. In so doing, our sanctified hearts would then be prepared for the release of the divine authority necessary to defeat this enemy. If you have that, get in there and tell him where to go. Right? You have power and you have authority, and you just tell him what he's going to do. And you tell him what he's not going to do. You can kick him out of camp, but you don't have to let him stay in your camp. All right, let's talk about Baslake in history. Throughout history, this spirit has sponsored plagues at various times, causing great numbers of people to experience death. During the 1997 vision of Baslake, Bob saw this prince of darkness approaching land between two bridges, utilizing the winds, bringing plagues, viruses, and natural disasters, causing considerable misery. It was revealed in the vision and confirmed through Jewish literature that this evil spirit prevails during a certain season of the year. This season is called Beinhamtarim by the Jewish writers. This term means between the straits or dire straits. I'm not going to use that expression anymore. I'm in dire straits. I'm not going to use that anymore. This season is a 3-week cycle. It is a time when the spirit is prevalent, even predominant, when unchallenged by the authority of Christ given to the church through his shed blood. So what we need to be doing is we need to be praying during those 3 weeks every day. All day long, it should be covered in prayer. And stop this spirit from doing anything demonic to us, to our loved ones. This high-level authority cannot be combated individually. See that? But must be engaged through corporate united intercessory prayer. Everybody should be here in prayer meeting Tuesday nights. At the time that subsequent vision was revealed to Bob in 1997, Hurricane Danny entered Mobile Bay in Alabama in an area that perfectly fits the descriptions between the bridges. According to biblical definitions, Dan means to judge, once again pointing to the coming justice of God. Uncharacteristically, Hurricane Danny brooded over Mobile Bay for 12 hours, dumping a reported 40 inches of rain, combined with high winds, seemingly verifying in the natural the spiritual truths of this revelation. The ancient leaders recognized that the righteous must be hidden in the secret place of the Most High during this time of trouble. God's been warning us to get there. The ancient leaders recognized that the righteous must be hidden in the secret place of the Most High during this time of trouble, which they believed was a dress rehearsal for the birth pangs of Messiah. Now, if the ancient leaders recognized this fact, saints, the church must start recognizing it too. Isaiah 26:17, the prophet Isaiah speaks of a season when the righteous are directed to hide themselves while wrath and indignation takes its course. So Isaiah 26:20 says, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain." Just like that dear thing went on in Florida. Satan did that, but I know God was behind it. I know he was. He's behind everything. And some of the things are being said, people need to shut up and go to church or get on their knees and pray and seek God's face. Come on, they're just all out there spouting stuff they don't even know what they're even talking about. Zephaniah 2:3 also prophetically forecast a season in Zephaniah 2:3, and we're going to read it. Also prophetically forecast a season when the godly are directed to seek the Lord, seek righteousness, and seek humility, and perhaps be hidden in the days of the Lord's anger. So Zephaniah 2:3 says, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." God has been calling us, if you think back, he's been calling us into the secret place with him, hasn't he? He knows what's going to happen like with Ramadan right now, and when the Basilisk time comes, he knows what's going to happen, and he's trying to get us into that secret place and trying to get us covered so that the enemy can't find us. Are you listening? I know somebody's in sin right now, but last night I prayed, said, "God, I want him brought into the secret place. I want him brought in there, and I want him hid no matter what he's doing, because you promised me. And if he's out there with the enemy, he'll be taken over. I want him hid as you clean him up." What's wrong with that? Come on. You want yourself hid when you're messed up, don't you? Come on. We're not holy 24 hours a day. Don't tell me you are, because I know we're not. And you don't want to be out there in the open to be attacked by the enemy when you fall. All right? So why not the ones you're praying for, why don't you take them into the secret place where they'll be covered? Because we're too busy wanting to see them pay the price. You can't stand the fact that they sinned and got away with it. And you can't. That is the truth. According to these rabbis, the heat of the noonday from 12 o'clock, now listen to this. According to these rabbis, the heat of the noonday from 12 until 3 was a time of extreme activity for this evil spirit. So every day between 12 and 3, get on your knees and get in the hiding place and get on, and start praying. Amen. Get out your blood, anoint yourself, carry your cross. Did y'all read where Bob Larson goes into the big churches to see what's going on there and how they can keep their people there? He says there's not a cross in any of those churches anywhere. Not a cross anywhere. He said they've done away with the cross. But he also said they dress down and they don't dress up. Well, anyhow. Why, you know, we have the cross because God told me to put it there. And then I put the love on there. And then I put the blood running down in the heart. And I heard somebody say, you know, we had revival all the time. Somebody sitting behind me, she said, she's Catholic. I'm not coming back here no more. Look at her cross. I don't know what Catholics do, but I thought, really now? So they weren't coming back anymore because they had the heart and the blood running down there. All right, even a review of recent years will reveal that this season of time has produced considerable destruction through storms, droughts, floods, extreme heat, and famine. If this evil prince continues to go unchecked through intercessory prayer, then great destruction will come to people. God revealed to Reverend Nancy how important her prayers are. How powerful they are. So she better get on her toes. We're all going to get a whip out if she doesn't, right? But then she has to have backup too. We must be brought out of darkness into light so that we would not perish because of a lack of knowledge concerning the Spirit and its operations. We must be brought out of darkness, which I'm trying to do tonight, into light so that we would not perish because of a lack of knowledge concerning the Spirit and its operations. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I don't know how many times God will tell me that about people. When I'm praying over people, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't have any knowledge and they don't know what they're doing. But yet they turn around and say, that prophet doesn't know what they're even talking about. You know? You need to watch your mouth. You need to watch the way you're thinking. And you need to just keep your eyes upon God and talk to God and hear what he has to say about everything. We're praying about a couple different things. I said, well, I'm just going to take that up before the Lord. And when I did, we was all surprised that he answered, weren't we? You know? So, what we thought we were going to do, God wasn't in that plan at all. Now see, this is what you have to do. Instead of you saying, this is what I'm going to do. You need to say, I'm going to take that before the Lord. And then let God tell you how he wants it done and what he wants to do. Everything you do, that's what you should do. It shouldn't be what you want to do. It's what does the Father want me to do? Amen? The plans of Baslik. It is the enemy's desire to weaken our overall economy. Baslik intends to bring such calamity to various geographic regions so as to destroy vital supplies, produce, and agricultural goods, further disrupting our economy beyond the staggering costs natural disasters and terrorism already generate. Do you believe that that's why God said that no matter how dark the darkness gets, he will keep you? Doesn't matter what they do with the food. God can supernaturally supply us. Can he not? But we're going to have to get out of our religious state that we're in. Some people are still there. And we're going to have to get into the Spirit because God told me about 5 years ago now is a time when Spirit is calling to Spirit and religion has nothing to do with what I'm going to do in the church. And if you're really reading anything anybody's writing, everybody is saying, which we already know all this, but everybody is saying that the church is going to be totally and completely changed. It is never going to operate the way it used to operate. And people do not want, one person said, people do not want to change. And that's why they're leaving the church and they're blaming the church. They're saying the church is the reason why they're leaving. But the truth is, they don't want to change. We're going to have to be able to change, guys. And, you know, if God's told you for years, you're going to go this way, you're going to do this, and all of a sudden they said, well, now we're going to go over here. Don't get disgruntled. Well, I made all these plans and did all this to go there. Now you're saying, I have to go over here. Go wherever he's telling you to go. Do whatever he's telling you to do. All right? God can change his mind, you know. You don't control his mind, and he doesn't care if you like it or not. If you're his child and you're going to say, okay, Father, whatever you want from me, I'll go ahead and do it. What is it? And you might sit there, what? But still in all, you're going to do it, right? Sure you are. Okay, where am I at? Defeating Basling. Our Lord in his grace has given us, I read it, but read it again. Our Lord in his grace has given us this insight into the plans of the enemy for the purpose of equipping us with a blueprint for success in defeating this adversary. No, I hadn't read that. Let's read that again. Our Lord in his grace has given us this insight into the plans of the enemy, all right, for the purpose of equipping us with a blueprint for success in defeating this adversary. He will give us a blueprint as we pray on how we should do everything during this season. The more we understand his plans and purposes, the more capable we will be to pray with pinpoint precision. See, Reverend Nancy shouldn't just come in here, well, it's Tuesday night, I gotta go down there and kneel down and pray. She shouldn't be doing that. How many's gonna show up? Probably just me. No, that's not the right attitude. I'm an intercessor. God called me to be an intercessor. It's Tuesday night, I'm gonna go down there. Father, what is it you want me to pray? What is it you want me to pray for? Then when she comes, she has an agenda from God. And then when you pray, then God moves. If you come in here with the wrong attitude, he is not obligated to want not one thing. Well, I go to church Wednesday night. I go to church Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Now you want me to go Tuesday night too. Well, then that disqualifies you for the 7 day a week job, doesn't it? Because God said we'll be in church 7 days a week. Sometimes all day and all night. So if you're going to fuss about an extra Tuesday couple hours and traveling, then you're disqualified. The Lord also has his plans and purposes. Plans for welfare and not for calamity toward those obediently following his divinely ordained strategy. Read that again. Are you reading it, Sister Nancy? All right. I'm picking on her tonight. She looks down, so I'm going to bring her up. The Lord also has his plans and purposes. Plans for welfare and not for calamity toward those obediently, you have to be following him in obedience, following his divine ordained strategy. You can't stick your own strategy in there at all. You have to follow his. Nothing could be more rewarding for a Christian than to find favor with God by willingly offering ourselves as instruments of righteousness, hating what he hates and loving that which he loves. Let's read that again. Excuse me. Nothing could be more rewarding for a Christian than to find favor with God by willingly offering ourselves as instruments of righteousness, hating what he hates and loving that which he loves. This can be accomplished at least in part by committing ourselves faithfully to this battle, both individually and corporately. Now, how many of you have stopped there? How many of you have found yourself just being happy as no bug in a rug, you know, just going about your business? And somebody walks into your room or you walk into their presence, all of a sudden you get very angry. You know what that is? They've been in sin and God is angry and the God in you gets angry and gets upset. Wow. I shouldn't even have come into the room, is what they're saying. And I'm thinking, no, you shouldn't have done the sin you just did. And then the Spirit of God in me wouldn't have got upset. Are you listening here? Come on. Foremost in our preparation for this battle is sincere repentance for our sins and the sins of our fathers. Foremost in our preparation for this battle is sincere repentance for our sins and the sins of our fathers. Acts 3:19. Repentance will always bring forth times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Genuine sorrow that is not merely the articulation of our mouths, but the incentives of our hearts will also pave the way for the impartation of righteousness and divine authority necessary for defeating our enemies. It just can't be lip service, guys. That went out of the window, too, along with the middle gray area, whatever you want to call it. It has to be sincere repentance. And sincere repentance that I'm not going to do it again. That's why I've told you before, I tell you again, that's what I loved about King David. When he sinned, he only sinned one time. That sin one time. And he told God he was sorry. He never went back and did that sin ever again. Because when he repented, he repented. How many of you repent, and you repent, and then you repent, and then you repent, and then you repent? Come on. That's not sincere repentance. I know now, don't get all under condemnation. I know you got devils in there keeping you bound, but I mean, if it's not a devil and it's just you is what I'm talking about, you need to get it right. You need to sincerely repent before the Father and quit blaming everything on the devil too while we're at that. Some of it's just a plain old rotten flesh. You need to let God peel you like an onion. I'll never forget that this one gentleman used to come here. He'd say, Pastor Barbara, God peels us all like an onion. I said, where's he get his dumb statements? But you know, after the poor man died, I mean, I loved him and he loved me too. But after he died, I heard a lot of people say, God's peeling you like an onion. I said, there you go, Jim. Amen. And then God does, you know, layer upon layer. Keep peeling, Lord, because this onion still has too much skin on it, right? Come on. 1 John 3:8, the scriptures declare that our Savior came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. He has chosen his church as the instrument through which this victory is to be manifested. Daniel 9 records a great prophet repenting for his... All right, let's go back to 1 John 3:8. The scriptures declare that our Savior came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. That's what he came here for. He didn't come to look at you and your pretty face and tell you how beautiful you are. He has chosen his church, which is you and I, individually and corporately, as the instrument through which this victory is to be manifested. See, if we can't destroy the enemy, why would the world want to come in here? Why would the world want what you have? How did I become born again? Because I had a friend who was a heathen. And one night she came pick me up. We went to college together. She picked me up where I worked at the registrar's office. And she was so cool. She used to be a loudmouth cuss, but I liked her. She was a nice person. And I said, I forgot her name, but I said, what's wrong? Nothing. And she said, come on, we're going to be late for class, real quiet. And I said, what's changed you? She said, well, you go with me tomorrow night and you'll see. So she took me to Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting. And I got born again too. But I mean, she was so ready. I wanted what she had. Even though I was always went to church, I didn't have what she had. And I wanted what she had. She said, you come with me tomorrow night and I'll show you what I got. How many of you, do people walk up to you and say, you know, knows you, walk up to you and say, what do you have? I want what you have. They probably the same old Nancy, still loud mouth and cussing. Goes to church. I'm just using your example. You know what I'm saying? No, you should be different. And when people walk up to you, they should say, what happened to you? I want whatever you got. Amen? I got what she got and other people got what I got, and, you know, and it just went right on down the line. See, so it's line upon line. You get your act together right. And then other people want what you want, and then other people want what they want, and next thing you know, we'll have the church saved anyhow. Then we can work on the world. Right? Daniel 9 records a great prophet repenting for his sins and those of his people, leadership, and forefathers for not having obeyed the word of the Lord to obediently walk in his teachings. Daniel 9:3. This is Daniel speaking. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. He just didn't go and say, I repent for the people. He went fat with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets. Now, just think about this. This is a church. The prophets have spoken your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants and prophets. This describes us to a T. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. What did he say? The law of Moses, the servant of God? Well, I'm sorry. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. He wasn't blaming God. He was just, this is the way it is. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Why do you think that God is going to do such destruction to America? I didn't say destroy it. It's because the church has not yet repented for their sins. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. He said, even though you blessed us, we still sinned. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications. And for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. That sort of tickles me. He said, for the Lord's sake. You know, God will get glory out of that. But I think he also wanted them to get out from underneath the curse, right? Verse 18, O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. See that? O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. It's time, saints of God, we get down and we repent for each other even. And for the dignitaries, you know, whatever, we need to get down and really speak the truth like Daniel did. Oh, God, forgive me because I'm so stupid. Come on, I've disobeyed your voice over and over and over again. Get real, get right, and truly repent. As I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy has a plan out, all mapped out to take your life. And what state of mind will you be in when if he takes it? This is very serious. You don't understand how serious it really is. Those people died in that shooting. Where did they go to? See, you know, we just think we're out having a good time. But we never know when that lightning is going to strike. And we're not ready to meet our Maker. Like Israel of old, we have allowed the spirit of the world to invade our lives, promoting compromise and spiritual error. Have we not? Like Israel of old, we have allowed the spirit of the world to invade our lives, promoting compromise and spiritual error. I'm just hoping that shooting has made the church open up their eyes and think, what if that happened to me? Where would I spend eternity? But I'm sorry to say, guys, all the church thinks it's about is having a good time. We are now being given the divine opportunity to make this right individually and corporately. City and regional repentance is especially crucial in the southeastern United States, a target zone for Baslik. City and regional repentance is especially crucial in the southeastern United States, the target zone for Baslik. Sincere repentance will touch the heart of the Father, releasing the spiritual ammunition to defeat Baslik. What will? Sincere repentance. You know, Baslik doesn't have to go blow up a building. He can come to you, your temple. And if you're not in sincere repentance, if you're not standing close to God, he can take your life just like that. I don't know about you, but I fear that. I fear that, you know, you work so hard to keep yourself right, and then in one stupid moment you give in to the devil, and then boom, then he takes your life. Then you spend all that time being holy, and one second the devil takes you out and takes you to hell, and then he really torments you. Think about that. I'm hearing God say it's not a wise decision if you still stay in your sin. Psalm 91 has been given to us as a scripture of protection and an instrument of war against this evil spirit. The church has been given authority over all of the power of the enemy. Authority and victory in Christ must be rightly appropriated through the body. Like the sons of Issachar, we must be equipped with the knowledge of the times and seasons of the Spirit, dedicated to the Lord's plans and strategy. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. So, all right, tonight, you know the time, you know the dates, we gave you the dates, you know what we're supposed to, true repentance, now we just have to do it. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So you have to be led by the Spirit. You can't be led by your flesh, by religion. It has to be by the Spirit. The Lord is calling for repentance and corporate intercession against the specific plans of the enemy outlined here. We have to do it corporately and individually. You know, I wouldn't count on Tuesday night covering me. I'd be praying as hard as I can pray every day. Amen. Cover my own self. Great and notable end time purposes are presently being birthed, and the enemy is doing all that he can to abort the destiny of this generation. Let's get this in your spirit. Great and notable end time purposes are presently being birthed, and the enemy is doing all that he can to abort the destiny of this generation. You're this generation. Are you going to allow him to abort you? Come on. I read an article where it said that at this given time, God is bringing us old guys out into the open, and he's anointing us with more power and authority than we've ever had, and he's going to use the older generation. I'm the older generation, more powerfully than he ever has before. So get excited, brother. Get excited back there. and know that God is in control. I don't care what the enemy's doing to you. My Lord, I've never been hit so hard in all my life as what I am right now, because the enemy knows what God's getting ready to do, and he's trying to stop me at every turn. And he's trying to do this very same thing to everybody sitting in this room. You have to be one of the sons of Issachar. You have to know the times of the season. You have to understand that you're under attack, a very terrible attack from the enemy trying to take you out. And God's saying that to some of you, your ministry hasn't even begun yet, and the enemy's about ready to take you out. Come on. At least get your feet off the ground before you let him take you. You'll fly a little bit. Amen? No, I don't want to take you at all. Come on. How do we strategically navigate this season? Number one, choose a method of food fasting from now through July the 30th. So you can start the day after Father's Day, all right? I won't make you do it today because everybody's going to eat on Saturday, Sunday, whatever, all right? But then after that, I would choose a fast. Number two, read and declare Psalms 91 each day over yourself. Number three, gather corporately for prayer. Tuesday nights, gather for prayer. Number four, remember this deceptive prevailing spirit operates with heightened activity between 12 noon and 3 p.m. All right, so what was the dates again? July what? July the 23rd, it starts, and it goes through August the 12th, and he heightens his attacks at noon, 12 noon until 3. You know what I said? But right now we're in the Ramadan period, and that goes through July the 5th. So when we get out of that, I guess we'll be able to breathe a little bit. Might be able to go, and then start, fighting all over again. But don't allow the enemy to take you out. How dumb can you be to allow that stupid enemy who has no power, no authority, unless you give it to him. Boy, I'm preaching myself too. Believe me, I am. You know, why would you allow him to do something that God doesn't want him to do to you? Come on. I'm hearing God say, get your head out of the sand tonight. Start looking up to him who's the author and finisher of your life. Allow him to strengthen you and to bring you through these prevailing dark days that are already upon us. And God just said, I wish above all else that you would just obey me. Obey what I ask you to do. Some of you, and I don't even say it myself, right now your life seems like it's turned upside down, doesn't it? I mean, the enemy has come at you with everything he has. And when I was getting this together, I said, dear Lord, I'm already fighting a battle. What's it going to be like when he comes on the scene? But you know, we can't give up. We have to be the hope for others. Even though people see us going through terrible battles and we're still smiling, we're still getting in here and praising the Lord and we're still laughing and rejoicing, you know, they'll see that and they'll say, there must be something to this God of theirs or they'd be gone right now. They'd be under. So what kind of a testimony are you giving to the people around about you? Is it a testimony that wants them to have what you have, to be more like Jesus? To be strong. You know, how many of you here tonight, you know, you don't put your hands up. Just think, sometimes you're so weak you can't stand it, but you have to be strong. You have to stand strong. Let others see you as a strong tower that they can run into. Because, you know, they're already weak. They don't want a weak tower. I had somebody say to me today, I'm so glad you're strong as you are in the Lord. Because I know I would be dead right now. I know that you're praying for me and I know you have others praying for me and I want to thank you and the others who are praying. But they said, I'm so glad you're strong in the Lord. So this is what people think about you when they see you, going through the hell you go through, but yet you're still standing strong. You're still proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not afraid to say God's in control. Then you're saying, my God is worthy. And you're inviting them to come and follow the God that you follow. And be real, be open. You know, I wrote my granddaughter a note last night because I don't see her at the right time to talk to her. And I told her, I have finally learned how to hate. And I said, I'm sorry. I said, I don't see how, you know, and I really asked God to heal the wounds, you know, of my soul. And I'm laying out before him and doing that. But I told her, I said, I finally learned how to hate. And how do you people live in the hate you live in? I don't understand people can live in hate like that. That alone kills you. So I'm repenting like never before because I never thought I'd ever be that place. I never thought the enemy could take me down. He said he would take me down, but you know what? He can't take me out. Because I repented and confessed what was wrong with me, even though God already knew it. And that enemy's lost his hold on me. See, it was when you walk around and you deny what's going on inside of you. You deny that you have any problems. That's when the enemy can take you. But when you're honest and open and out front, you don't have any skeletons in your closet, then you overcome. And everybody around about you can overcome also. It gives them faith and courage to go on even though they don't feel like going on. Even though they feel like they've done so much damage to other people that there's no way that God could ever forgive them. God can forgive them. Amen. You know, let's stand to our feet tonight. God wants you to come to the altar, and God just wants you to surrender yourself to Him, because He wants to totally and completely pour Himself into you tonight, because He wants to use each and every one of you as a strong tower that others can run into. He wants to take every bit of condemnation out of you tonight. If he didn't know he was going to fall, why did he put in his Bible, a righteous man falls 7 times in one day, and then one day gets up 7 times? He didn't say we stay there. He said we get up and we move on. Baslick has nothing on us. He's been uncovered. Now all we have to do is obey what God's told us to do. Send all the kids down. And I'm just hearing God say, tonight you're on your way to the throne room. You're going to sit in my presence. You're going to have dreams and visions from tonight on.